This is Jake Brown, and I'm the credit manager for Egg Services. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Egg Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart along with Sierra Doctor. We start this broadcast with Harvest Hotline presented by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, the North Dakota Mill, and Pivot Bio. Snow flurries are falling as St. Thomas, North Dakota farmer Alan Tucker finishes up sugar beet harvest. He's got 100 acres left to harvest. That's about 24 to 36 hours left on the clock. Tonnage and sugar content of the crop this year is good.
So pleasantly surprised, such a difficult start to the growing season. We didn't think, especially with the sugar beets, that they need a longer growing season, or so we thought. But we did have a beautiful season, and with plenty of sunshine and just the right amount of moisture, it would seem. So we got very fortunate with an above-average sugar beet crop, which we were not expecting.
Tucker says the potatoes and dry edible beans finished well earlier this month.
Beautiful crops with beautiful quality and above-average yield. So just an exciting year for our farm. And wheat, we can throw wheat in that too. We're just having a very good year, which was, we were really hoping and praying for that because last year was not so good. So we needed a recovery year, and we got it.
A good portion of north central North Dakota is still harvesting soybeans. Carrington, North Dakota farmer Kayla Rosenau says the yields are better than expected.
I'd say yields anywhere from like 30 to 40. So I would say a little bit above average for most producers. I've heard some that are above 40. That's pretty awesome for our area. It's really good when you think of how the spring was, how wet and everything was, that we can still pull those yields off.
Rosenau hasn't broken into his cornfields yet, but he's optimistic that yields will be above average.
With bean yields like it is like now, it's kind of, we're kind of needing to try some corn because we're just wondering how the yield that's going to look. Because if the beans are doing this well, I can only about imagine corn is ready to follow with above average or at least average yield. So that also would be very nice too at these prices.
Colton, South Dakota farmer Jeff Thompson started harvesting lower producing fields this week for corn harvest.
Kind of starting on my probably the more droughtier field that I have, get that out of the way before I roll into some other stuff. Moisture is running like 12%, so she's plenty dry. Yield probably around 140, so probably off, you know, from what I would like to see, you know, 30 to 40 bushel probably. And your bottom piece here that mainly soil types. Plus we were short rain too.
Soybeans suffered from a lack of rain as well.
And we didn't get much at all in August, so the bean yield, you know, on this farm was like 34. You know, the beans were there, but they were all pretty small, so they didn't have a chance to get an August rain to fill things out at all.
That's Harvest Hotline presented by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, Pivot Bio, and the North Dakota Mill.
Cold, breezy, and unsettled weather remains the forecast for the Northern Plains going into the weekend. Here's World Weather Incorporated senior ag meteorologist Drew Lerner.
You know, we've had it good for a long time, so sooner or later you got to pay the piper. But we are moving, at least right now, through a very slow-moving upper-level trough of low pressure. It's kind of an impressive event, and I do believe it is foreshadowing a little bit as to what we will be dealing with a little later in our winter season. But this particular event is going to slowly push through the region. So we'll have this unsettled weather probably staying with us into the weekend.
Lerner is concerned about the longer-term forecast for soil moisture profiles.
Not only in the northern plains and upper Midwest, but throughout a big part of key U.S. crop areas from the plains westward and even to a certain degree into the Midwest. Once you get into winter, it stays cool enough that even when you get light precipitation events, there's a tendency to get some benefit from it if you're dry. So we will make some progress in putting some moisture back into the soil. But I'm looking at some potential anomalies for the winter in the upper Midwest, probably the upper Mississippi River Basin, and that would include perhaps even the Red River Basin. Some of these areas will see less than usual precipitation over this coming winter.
Dry conditions are worsening across the Dakotas and Minnesota. In the last week, the U.S. Drought Monitor shows an expansion of severe and extreme drought in southern Minnesota. In North Dakota, a new patch of severe drought stretches from McLean to Eddy and Foster counties. For South Dakota, extreme drought is popping up in the southwestern part of the state. The majority of all three states are a mix of colors, ranging from abnormally dry to extreme drought. And in the case of South Dakota, there's some exceptional drought.
USDA Midwest Climate Hub Director Dennis Toddy is not too concerned about the dry conditions in the northern plains yet.
The situation we have, obviously we haven't had much precipitation over the last, 30, 60 days. And then along with that, we've had some very warm temperatures and very dry air. So that has helped to do more evaporation from the surface, much more than we would expect this time of year. So that's added to these worsening drought conditions.
Toddy says it's odd to see an increase in the dry conditions this time of the year. Typically, this is a time for widespread, low-intensity rainfall events.
Winter wheat planting is lagging behind in South Dakota due to these dry conditions. South Dakota Wheat Commission Executive Director Reed Christofferson says the dryness also impacts emergence.
Earlier this week, the emergence was reported at about 38%, and again, probably comparable to what we've seen with the seeding rate lagging behind what the averages might be. But a nice shot of rain would really help us out. Unfortunately, I don't think I see that in the near future. Humidity is low. The wind is high. Temperatures are cooling off as we're moving into the fall. So it's always a wait and see.
Christofferson is anticipating steady winter wheat production for South Dakota. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The U.S. dollar tried to make a new high, but after the release of the Consumer Price Index, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo says it will be interesting to see if the highs hold.
And if they can't hold, then whether that creates a little bit more of a tailwind in these grain and livestock markets from a commodity index mindset.
Zuzulo says the grain markets had to digest the CPI numbers this morning.
Since then, we've been able to find a real a bit of short covering in the wheat, a wheat-led market. You think when wheat turns around, it's either weather or Russia or a combination, and we're hearing now in the news wires that Russia has submitted a letter to the United Nations about the Black Sea Grain Agreement, saying that they're prepared to reject renewing that deal next month. And from what I'm hearing at this stage, they're looking at going directly through Turkey to utilize Turkey as an outlet for their grain supplies throughout Africa.
More on that Russia UN letter. Moscow sent a letter of concern to the United Nations regarding the Black Sea Grain Export Agreement currently in place, saying the country is prepared to reject to renewing the deal next month, at least until additional demands are met. Russia's Geneva UN ambassador told Reuters Russia is not against the deliveries of grains, but the deal should be equal, fair, and fairly implemented by all sides. Russia is still mad about that Crimea bridge explosion.
Bagley Livestock Auction co-owner Billy Bouchel says they haven't seen too many wean calves yet this year.
On the new crop calves, it's looking, quite a bit brighter than last year, of course, but it's still just in the getting established yet. Haven't seen enough volume of them coming to town yet to really establish market trends or anything yet. So it's still a little up in the air, but yeah, definitely we're looking at a lot better prices than what we've seen the last couple years. The yearling market off grass, that's actually winding down. And it's been a good year. Thank God in our country we had ample grass and gains were good. And so, yeah, it was a real good year for the operators of running yearling.
Gel says there hasn't been much for cull cows to come through at the auction barn yet.
The cull cow runs typically what the scenario is when a person would either wean his calves or sell the calves right off the cow. Then at that point they will ASAP, pregnancy test their cows and cull them. And being nobody's really marketing a lot of the calves yet, everyone's been so busy trying to do their farm work and field work and stuff in this nice weather that we've had, there's been very little weaning of the calves, even the guys that wean their own. A lot of people actually like to wait until freeze up into November away so that their lots are going to stay nice and firm and not get into any mud.
According to Energy Information Administration data released for the week of October 7th, U.S. ethanol production was up 4. Production was 9.7% less than the same week last year and 6.2% below the five-year average for the week. The four-week average ethanol production volume declined 0.9% to 894,000 barrels per day. Ethanol stocks grew 0.8% to 21.9 million barrels.
Farmers Business Network released its first fertilizer price transparency report that examines how fertilizer prices will impact farmers' application rates this fall. The report shows widespread fertilizer price variation across regions, with nitrogen fertilizers costing about twice as much as potash fertilizers. FBN chief economist Kevin McNew stated a lack of price transparency can impact the ROI, tighten operational budgets, and make crop planning for next year even tougher for farmers. The report also shows urea prices have increased nearly 200% and DAP prices 112%.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association denounced Google's new sustainability search feature that provides climate information on cattle production. NCBA President Don Schiefelbein said Google is using its resources to target cattle producers and ignore the science that demonstrates beef sustainability and value to the environment. NCBA is urging Google to consider the science of beef production before making the new feature widely available. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The University of Crookston is set to offer skills training to help the next generation of professionals. This course series is called Rural Leadership and Success. Here's University of Crookston Director of Admissions, Alyssa Lees.
The Rural Leadership and Success series really grew out of a want to help our region just develop leaders and sort of that, you know, oncoming generations. It's really targeted at those folks who may find themselves in a new management position or a new leadership position and are maybe going, wait, what now? So giving that coursework in leadership and problem solving, decision making, business technology.
Lee says the courses were developed to address gaps in skill sets of rural workers. The courses are scheduled to begin November 7th virtually.
The online classes are built to be lecture-based and presentation-based, so students can go through the curriculum, the coursework at their own pace. And then a lot of the assignments are more project-based, things that people can do or implement right there in their work, so you can actually turn right around and immediately apply what you're learning from those courses into your everyday.
Beginning January 1st, Travis Park will take over as the Director of Agricultural Education, the National FFA Board Chair and National FFA Advisor. Park is a professor at North Carolina State University and was the 92-93 National FFA President. He replaces James Woodard, who stepped down in May. Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, December Minneapolis wheat up 14 at 980 and three quarters. December Chicago wheat up 13 and a half at 895 and three quarters. December corn up 5 1/4 at 698 and a quarter. March corn up 5 1/4 as well at 705 and a quarter. November beans up 2 3/4 at 1398 and three quarters. March beans up 4 1/4 at 1416 and a half. November canola up $2.60 Canadian at $867.40 Canadian. October live cattle up 52 cents. December down 25 cents. October feeder cattle down 55 cents. Thanks for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.